Welcome to our last meeting. It's exciting, isn't it? Is your brain exploding with all the information?
Yes.
The good news is it's being filmed, and the good news is that what you'll find as you go is things will come to your mind. And there's a few verses that you can quote that we've looked at. Psalm 32, verse 8 says, where God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. You couldn't have a better promise than that. And also what he said to the disciples in the upper room, and he says to us today, and it's found in John 14, starting at verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever things I have spoken unto you. And he also says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. We should be the happiest people on the planet, isn't that true? Especially when we are... remember to thank God for every single thing that happens to us. So that's found in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And then the challenge to the medical missionary is also found in 1 Thessalonians 5, and that is verse 21, where it says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. When you've proved it in your own life, then you have the word of your testimony. So what we'd like to, there's a couple of things we'd like to look at in our last session, and that's children's health. And some parents contact me and say, I'm really worried about my child, you know, I haven't vaccinated. What am I going to do if my child gets a serious illness? What am I going to do if my child does get whooping cough, if my child does get these diseases that have been vaccinated against? Children have been getting these diseases for centuries. And remember when we looked at in our first lecture, it was Florence Nightingale that caused the huge reduction in the childhood diseases through sanitation, hygiene and nutrition. Keep your house clean. Wash regularly. Sweep the floors. Keep the bathrooms clean. Keep those windows open in the bathroom. Someone mightn't like the draft, but every time I go into the bathroom, I open the window again. Keep it clean, keep it dry, keep, you know, allow the sun to come in, and as quickly as possible, take away anything, you know, your scraps from your kitchen. Just keep it beautifully clean. And hygiene, personal hygiene, wash every day. Wash your clothes every day. Waste is coming out of your body. And nutrition. So keep your body well nourished because it's been designed to heal itself. And the best vaccination, the best immunization is the 8 laws of health. That is the best. And if a child gets sick, you look at the symptoms. If they've got a fever, cool them down a little bit with the warm tepid bath. If they've got a cough, make the onion cough syrup. If they're coughing all night, put the onion on their feet overnight. The body's been designed to heal itself. So often I write to mothers who are worried. I say, do you know if you do nothing, your baby will heal? If you do nothing, because it's been designed to heal itself. But if you put the garlic on the feet, if you feed them lightly, if you make the onion cough syrup, That will relieve their symptoms and they will heal even quicker. So what do you feed children? Well, I did never feed my babies. I only fed my children because babies don't have teeth. And as we looked at it, they shouldn't be having food until they have teeth. And they want to do what you do. So you might give them a carrot to munch on. You might give them a cucumber to munch on. Until they get all their teeth, you might give them little bits of only just fruits and vegetables until their teeth are through. And then I only fed them when we ate. What about the little two-year-old? Can he go the distance? He certainly can, as long as you make sure that his meal is high in fibre, contains generous amounts of protein, generous protein, and your healthy fats. Remember, these foods give that long, steady, sure, consistent delivery of fuel. If you give them a slice of bread for breakfast, they're going to be wanting something in a couple of hours. Would I give them something? Water. Remember what I did to Peter? They're still hungry. Distract them. Go for a walk to the creek. Lots of water down there. It's an hour and a half to lunch and they're hungry. A little bit of soy milk or almond milk. That will just stop their hunger. Because if I give them something to eat now, they're not going to eat much lunch and then they're going to be hungry by 3 o'clock. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Remember, we have the frontal lobe. We have the prefrontal cortex, foresight. So parents, you can avoid a lot of confrontation problems doing foresight, looking ahead for what's ahead. Keep it very simple with children. Children's world should be as simple as possible. I love where Ellen White says, children should run free like lambs, let the garden be their school book. And it's good to bring them into the garden. So my two little grandchildren, Lennox was 3 and Sophia was 5 when they were living with us, and they'd come to the garden, they'd see my car come to the garden and they'd run down to the garden. They knew all the plants. And my celery, when it went to seed, it wasn't uncommon to find a celery plant in the grass. Well, little Sophia, she could find those celery plants. It's a wonderful thing to teach them. And we had lots of songs in the garden. We've got this grass, it's called nut grass, and it's a shocker. And here's the grass up the top, it just looks like grass. And then it has a nut. And then there's a thread, and then there's another nut. And then there can be thread and another nut. So you put black plastic on top of that, which will kill most weeds, the nut grass says, thank you, and it just goes berserk underneath. So when you dig, you've got to try and dig out everything. So if we dig, and she'd be the other side of the bed with me, and we managed to get 1, 2, 3 nuts, then we'd sing the hallelujah chorus. And when we're going deep, we go deep, deep as the ocean, wide as the heavens above. And we'd sing that song. And then sometimes we'd get it and, oh dear, it'd break here. And we'd go, ah. And then we'd have another song. We don't want the clicking sound. No, 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 no. It makes life in the garden so much joy. So much joy. And I would say to my little grandchild, you are the nutgrass princess. And she said, and you're the nutgrass queen, Nana. So make it fun. In fact, life should be a delight. And then when we'd finished in the garden, we'd go and dive in the creek. There's the delight. So make life enjoyable for the children. And, oh, where do the children always want to come for their holidays? To my house. Some of them call me Grandma, some of them call me Nana. And Will's two little boys, they got out of the car one day and they said, Grandma, we're here to work. We're workers, you know, we're workers. And I said, great, that's what I want, workers. Do you know, life should be very good. Do you know, when you make home sunshine, where do they want to be? And you know, there's a lot of trouble out there. Isn't that true? And there's a lot of temptations for children. So make life a delight. But there's always rules. So my grandchildren, they know there's no breakfast till they've had their water. And if they were to ever say to me, I don't want to drink my water, I would say, oh, I'm so sorry, you can't have breakfast. So you leave the choice with them. But actually, we never had to do that. So there's children. It's very simple, the simple natural remedies. And if they do get sick, there are simple natural remedies that can bring about healing, especially if you nip it in the bud. So listen to them, listen to the little things they tell you, listen if they've got any aches or pains, and then what are you looking for? Response. The other thing we didn't talk about was worms. What if the children have worms? And sometimes they do. Do you remember what we talked about this morning? A handful of these when they first, the first thing they eat at breakfast time? Pumpkin seeds?
Yeah.
Raw pumpkin seeds. And that's great to give to children when you haven't quite got the breakfast ready. I always got my children to sit at the table and that's when they can have fruit. Ah, the porridge is nearly ready, the bake is nearly ready, and they're hungry. And you'll find that they'll eat a lot more raw food when you serve that first. So when I was first married Michael, his children were 11 and 13, and they were not used to much raw food. Michael, as a bachelor who doesn't know much about cooking, it was a high-carbohydrate diet. It was cereal and toast for breakfast. Pasta was easy. And when we married his little 11-year-old daughter, she already had quite a thick stomach or waist. Within 6 months, she was slender. She was eating well, but the carbohydrates had come down. So when it was lunchtime, I would say, I would put the tables ready. We had beautiful salads, beautiful dressings. And we'd say grace, and you could see Michael and his children looking a little bit worried. Is this it? And Michael would say, where are the potatoes? I said, almost done. Big smile. And lentils, yeah, almost done. And they're hungry. And my children are used to salad because that's always we started with raw. So they're eating away. So peer pressure at its best. What do all the rest do? And when I notice that the salads are 3/4 gone, I say, oh, the potatoes are ready. The lentils are ready. And then you haven't got confrontations at the table. And I knew I had to be careful coming in as new mother. So pumpkin seeds and raw is great for the first. The worms hate it. They hate garlic. I found that even children will eat raw garlic if you put it on, say, your slice of toast, of course the sourdough spelt ideally, and then you put olive oil on it, and then you put crushed garlic, then avocado and tomato, that calms it down. The olive oil and the bread underneath and the avocado and tomato on top calm it down. Now, you might not put a whole clove of garlic if you're first doing it on the children. Do a little bit less, but they'll get used to it. And if they go, oh, it's hot, then you just laugh. Laugh your head off. You know, just laugh. Laugh all the time. You know, I've got a girlfriend, she's Fijian, and she said, the white people don't understand us. She said, when our child falls off the bike, we laugh and laugh. While we're laughing, we pick them up and brush them. What does that message tell the child? It's all right. It's all right. There are a couple of herbs. Do you remember one? We talked about it not long ago. Wormwood. Wormwood and black walnut. They're incredibly bitter. And so what it's a good idea to do is you can get them in tablet form because they're incredibly bitter. I had a lady I was consulting with and she had a few little children. She said, yeah, we've got the tablets, and this little three-year-old kept coming in and wanting more and more. And then I read the label, sugar. This sugar's feeding the worms and this is killing them, and the sugar's feeding the worms, so ideally not so much. So that's what you can do for worms, yeah?
Can you give this to cats and dogs also?
Quite possibly.
When they have worms?
Yeah, and you know that you can have vegetarian animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were vegetarian in the Garden of Eden, and I've got a few friends that only feed their cats and dogs vegetables.
But then they must stay inside.
Pardon?
Because then must they stay inside, because when they go outside they have mice on them.
Ah, you want them to kill the mice. Yes?
They are workers.
How do you know that it's in her worms?
Usually, if they've got, you know, they've got itchy down around their anus, that's usually a sign.
And they're coming out, the white.
Yeah, they're like little threads. Sometimes you can see that. Okay, now, Ben's have a look at all the questions that were sent in. And have you picked up some that we haven't covered?
Yes, we have two on vitamin C. And one is if you treat persons with vitamin C intravenously.
Vitamin C intravenously. I have met some people who are managing their cancer well, and they claim that what has helped them a lot was the vitamin C intravenously. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it that it certainly helps, but I guess you have to find a physician who's willing to do that.
And also infections can be treated that way.
IV.
It is claimed IV, yes.
Yeah.
Vitamin C again, but this time liposomal, in a liposomal form.
It is the most effective vitamin C, is liposomal. Are you familiar with that? I know my daughter was making it for a while. I think there's a way that you can make it. We just buy our vitamin C. What you'll find when you have a health retreat, you get very, very busy. Yeah. And you look at ways that you can save your time. We grow a lot of turmeric. We've got huge amounts of turmeric. Yeah. Someone said, why don't you dig it up and make your own powder? I could probably do that if I didn't sleep. You'd almost have to employ someone, because when it's a big thing to dig it up, it's very deep, then you have to wash everything, then you have to cut it up, and I think in the time of trouble we will be. But you see my point, that when you have a health retreat and you're very busy, and when you first start, you won't have much stuff. In fact, all our stuff are multitasking. Everyone becomes multitasked. That you have to be very careful that you do not overwork. That's very, very important. How do you guard against that? You go to bed early every night. And if you've got extra to do, you're far better to go to bed at 8 p.m. and get up at 4 a.m. And you'll have a couple of hours there if you've got extra things to do. That'd be easy here in Sweden. It's light. And in the summer, yeah. And you've also must exercise every day. If you don't, you cannot give the exercise lecture. Sorry, but you can't. Yes?
How do you do the liposomal vitamin C?
I can't tell you, but you can Google that and find out.
It's a form of transportation, so you're transported to the cell rather than having it in the bloodstream. So it means that you can make full use of it. But yeah. There's a lot of controversy around it, so it's difficult to say whether it's good or whether it's bad.
And you should also have the right type of vitamin C, the right powder.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. As we talked about earlier with the bioflavonoids and so on.
Exactly.
But it's you encapsulate it in fat, and that will transport it to the cells rather than lying in the blood cells, in the bloodstream.
You don't use the liposomal vitamin C?
No, we don't.
Because you can buy it
too
somehow. Yeah.
I also don't have anything to do with the ordering. Our office manager does that, and I just leave it there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Moses. They said you have to shed your workload.
We also had a question about a hot temper, if there's anything you can do for a person who's got a hot temper more or less all day through, any herbs or anything you can do with that.
They can rewire their brain. And that's why parents, it's very important to use the cold water dunk, because a hot temper has developed. It's usually started as a young age, and that cold water, it calms them down. Sorry, cools them down immediately, is the dunk of hot water. So people say, you must have thrown a lot of buckets of cold water I have to tell you, I never have. Because what I did was I watched my children carefully, and if I had any sign of it, even when they were a little baby, that there, you know, there was always a consequence, and the child never ever got a reward for such behaviour. So I guess it just never developed. And a lot of people don't think you can train babies, but you can. You've got to start from a young age, from a very young age. The mother has her eye on that. But my little grandson, that's the little sonny that went on the goat's milk because he was getting very thin. So I visited one day when he was 10 months old, and my daughter-in-law made the bottle of goat's milk and laid him on the lounge and put the bottle in for him to feed himself. And I believe mothers should always feed their baby. If they can't breastfeed, they should be holding them. So I said, can I feed the baby? So I picked him up, and what do you say when the baby's feeding? Oh, you are the most beautiful baby. And he started to poke me. He started to pinch me. And I thought, maybe this is why his mother doesn't feed him. And she's on the phone a lot, so how does he get her attention? He pokes her and he pushes her. And, you know, she reacts. And so sometimes a baby, any reaction is good. So what I did was I turned my head away like this. Now, what does that baby want? Oh, you are so beautiful. Yeah. And I only kept it away for probably 20 seconds. Then I came back and I smiled. Do you know what the smile says? I love you. Do you know what this says? Don't do that. Three times I did it. And the third time, 30 seconds is a long time. Try running up a hill for 30 seconds, a long time. And I could feel him getting upset, so I came back and I smiled. He never, ever did it again. So you see how you can train them, and it's just cause and effect. There's a reward for good behaviour, and bad behaviour also has a consequence, yeah?
What if the damage is done? If we are talking about an adult person, for example, with the hot temper...
With an adult person, adults, because they've got a fully developed prefrontal cortex, they should have more control. And if they have developed this hot temper, they can undevelop it. But I guess there needs to be incentive. And one lady said to me, my husband gets really angry and starts yelling at me in the car. And I said, you know what I'd do? I'd say, quick, stop. You've got to stop straight. Please, please pull over, stop. And he'd stop, and then you get out and you walk. What if you're way out in the bush? So be it. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be way out in the bush than being yelled at. And if he says, what are you doing? I will not go in the car with you while you yell at me. Oh, don't be silly, get in the car. No, not while you raise your voice. All right, I'll keep quiet. And do you know that woman can train her husband? And I also said to another lady whose husband yelled at her, I said, have a little bag at the front door. And when he starts yelling, just quickly go and pick up your bag. And if he says, where are you going? I will not stay here while you raise your voice. And you've got your bag ready. All right. So you can do it. You can do it. So whoever's with that person, they can train them. But they need to be calm, because two hotheads, explosion. And what does the Bible say in Proverbs 15, verse 1? A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up strife. So they can be trained, but they have to want to change. And sometimes they don't want to change, so that's difficult. And there are herbs that will calm them, but it really is a choice. And you know what I think? I think when they're just about to lose it, if the Prime Minister walked in, would they lose it? If Jesus walked in, would they lose it? So you can. It's like a girl's told, don't lead a guy on, because he'll get to the point where he can't turn around, you know, when they're alone together. Oh, he'd turn around if her father appeared with a shotgun. Yeah? So we all have a choice. So if the person came to you and said, I hate being like this. What can I do? The first thing I'd say is, do you know you have a choice? When you feel that rising, run. Run around the block 3 times. Have a big glass of cold water. Flee. You know what? Flee as a bird from the mountain, thou who art weary of sin. And the Proverbs 14 verse 7 says, flee from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceiveth not in him the lips of knowledge. That you can. And for someone who's about to lose it, and then a tree falls on their car, that they totally forget what they were going to lose it.
Ashwagandha, could that be something in a situation like that?
Ashwagandha, I have not experienced with ashwagandha, but I have had people coming off stimulants like alcohol, tobacco, where they...
Ashwagandha is an Indian herb, and it cools the temper.
It cools the temper, you could try it. Well, it must be a mild tranquilizer, mild sedative. So I know passion flower, interesting name, calms the passions. So... And that's what we give people who are coming off stimulants because their nerves are on edge. So if that person wants to even show them that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, if they want to, they can.
One final question from the sheet. Which we've finally gone through. It's amazing, all these questions. I'm amazed. But about the times that we are maybe facing soon, radioactivity and protection against radioactivity.
That is a difficult one because some toxins are so strong. But it has been... Some studies have shown that the high vitamin C can help someone somewhat with radioactivity. Also, making sure you've got, where's our three? You've got your high, I've already written it up. So the fats, the healthy fats. Because it's the nervous system that's affected and the fats, remember your nerve cells have got a coating of 70% fat, so it's ensured to make sure you've got the healthy fats. I think it's also important to be building up a seed supply of non-hybrid, non-GMO seeds so that you can grow your veggies. It's also important to become familiar with the garden and know your seasonal vegetables, what foods you can grow in season.
Iodine is the common recommendation, iodine.
Yeah, now that is something else that could go. We know your best iodine is via skin, too, that Lugol solution. That could certainly go into your first aid kit. They use iodine to clean the skin before they cut surgery. I know my friend who is a surgeon, she told me that, so the...
And why would iodine help with radioactivity?
I don't know why it would help, but I know that it's a strong antimicrobial. We have something called betadine, betadine, and that's just iodine. People put it on wounds, yeah?
It because iodine protects what do you call it?
Thyroid.
Thyroid, yeah, because otherwise the radioactive substances really take the place instead of iodine.
Yeah, so it competes with iodine.
Yeah.
That's what the bromides do. Mm.
And that is one of the first places that it will be attacked and affected, and that is the thyroid, in cases of radioactivity.
Why was that done? Why the thyroid?
I don't know, but that's what we've seen from Chernobyl, for example. Mm-hmm. They call it the Chernobyl necklace, and that is people who've had to operate on their thyroid because it's been badly affected. So it's so common in that area where Chernobyl is.
And it's possibly because the bromides compete with iodine, and they used to put iodine in bread, but now they put bromide in, and that competes with with iodine, and also they spray a lot of berries with bromide as an insecticide, and that competes with iodine. So all I can imagine, it has a similar effect to the bromides. Mm.
Mm-hmm. So there can be a problem when we don't eat organic berries that have spread with this.
That's true.
That you have a
thyroid problem. That's true. That's true. Especially a lot of people in Australia, they just do smoothies for breakfast and they buy packets of frozen berries. Yeah. They should come and live here and be able to pick their blueberries every day, eh? Out in the forest.
Mm-hmm. What was the substance you mentioned?
Bromide.
Oh, on the berries, too.
Mm.
Because we have bromide, not true bromide, because it's must be some...
call it a halogen, did I?
Yeah, it's halogen, yeah.
Yeah.
We actually have one more, and yeah. That is for hair growth, as mentioned here.
Yes, hair growth.
There's a bit of genetics involved in hair loss. There's certainly genetics involved in grey hair. And massaging the scalp can help. And I think we did touch on this one day this week. And we looked at castor oil and coconut oil. And rosemary. So I think we looked at doing something like making up a mix of half a cup of castor oil, half a cup of coconut oil, and for that amount, maybe you're looking at 10 drops of rosemary essential oil. And that can be massaged into the scalp. And massage, of course, stimulates blood supply there. Some people like to lay on the bed with their head almost on the floor for a while and get the blood going to the follicles, the hair follicles. We also looked at sodium lauryl sulfate, which kills the hair follicles, and that's in most shampoos. And it's used as a frothing agent, sodium lauryl sulfate. So, no sodium lauryl sulfate. But you almost need a magnifying glass to look at the fine print on the shampoo bottle.
In the soap, there is some product when they manufacture it, lye, what's the name, I think.
Yeah.
Is that dangerous?
Well, all soap in the old days, if you go out and look at bush medicine in the woods, they always used lye to make soap. But you can get soaps, and it is quite harsh on the skin, but you can get soaps today that don't have lye in them. I think that's the old-fashioned way to make it. I do know I've got a friend that makes soaps and she doesn't use lye. There's different ways you can do it now. I've never made soap. Yes?
What about poisonous snake bite?
Charcoal.
Charcoal.
Mm-hmm. Charcoal by mouth and charcoal on the wound as soon as possible.
The children are well.
Mm-hmm. So we lived in a rainforest for 12 years and none of us got a snake bite. Because when the snakes hear you coming, they run away. They're scared of you. I live out in the bush now. I have probably most of the last 40 years of my life, but you rarely see a snake.
And spiders?
Not much. Yeah, you rarely see spiders. People tell me that Australia must Sounds terrible living in Australia with all the spiders and the snakes, you know. You hardly ever see them. Yes, because in New Zealand they don't have them, do they? So there's a beautiful section in, and I like to go through a few Bible verses. We've touched on some of them. Some of them are a little bit new that you can use as medical missionaries. And don't forget Exodus 15:26, where God says, "If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and do that which is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes." Notice there's two, there's a hear, then a do, and then another hear, and then a do. So it's not enough to hear, you've got to do. He says, "Then I will put none of these diseases upon you that I put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." It's important to remember that, that the work that we are doing are under the mighty physician. And it almost sounds like God struck down the Egyptians with these diseases. But 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17 says, "Know you not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost?" No, "Know you not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." So this verse tells us that this body we're to see as a great trust, and we are not to defile it. And that's why the Egyptians had so many diseases, because they were defiling the body. And many people today are defiling the body, not even realizing it. That's why the only hope of better things is the education of people in the right principles. And then the next one is 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, where the writer says, "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And then we go to 1 Corinthians 10:31, where it says, "Whether you drink or whether you eat or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." But then we'll come over to 2 Corinthians 6:16, where it says, "What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And God hath said, I will dwell in them and I will walk in them." This is the key to a successful medical missionary retreat, is that the staff all have God living in them and walking in them. And he said, "And I will be their God and they will be my people." Just a beautiful promise. And then the verse that we've looked at a lot is Romans 12:1-2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifices." He's asking this of all medical missionaries. He's asking this of all his people, but it's particularly important for the medical missionaries, because you will be read by the guests that come. And so it doesn't mean that everyone has to have a perfect body. It doesn't mean everyone has to have everything going exactly right. You do the best you've got with what you have, because we are all a combination of our genetics, of our childhood, of our youth, that, you know, we are today, of the accidents and the traumas that we've been through in life, and conquering the different things that have happened to us is our qualifications to be able to do what we do. Because some people are smaller than others, some people are bigger than others, some people are taller than others, some people are shorter than others. But God says to each one of us, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Remember, it's only by God's mercies that you present your bodies living sacrifices, holy and acceptable God. It's your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. So that transformation must happen every single morning, where God promises he will take away your heart of stone and he will give you a heart of flesh. And he will put his spirit within you and cause you to walk in God's statutes. So when God says, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and do that which was right in his sight and give ear to his commandments, what makes it easy is if he's written it in there. And notice what it says, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk. Do you know what that means? Your natural inclination will be to go the way God wants us to go. And that has to happen because our natural inclination is not that way. That's why we need a Saviour. And that's why we need an indwelling Saviour. So let's have a look at 1 Peter 5, starting at verse 6, where the Bible says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. Be sober, be vigilant, knowing that your adversary, the devil, walketh around as a roaring lion, seeing whom he can devour. That's verse 8. I forgot to tell you verse 7. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Father, I've got this difficult guest. Father, what do I do with this one? Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you, and he called you to this work, and he will not disappoint you. So be sober. Go to bed early. You must. No staying up late. No, no, no. But this has to be done. No, 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 no. You cannot miss out on your sleep. You'll be going to work like a drunk person. And God says, be sober, be vigilant, knowing that your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeing whom he can devour. We let go of one point and we weaken one point. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Isn't that right? But the God of all grace, who hath called you unto his eternal glory, after ye have suffered a while, we don't like that bit, do we? Make you perfect. How do we become perfect? Suffering. But the God of all grace, who has called you unto his eternal glory, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. Establish, strengthen, settle you. What an incredible promise. Have you suffered? Well, God's working in you. God's preparing you. He's brought you here today. And part of your qualifications are your suffering. Eat. And we wonder why we suffer. Well, it's time to read again the last 24 hours of Jesus' life. It's time to read it again. Do you remember what Peter said? I am not worthy to be crucified head up. Now that's a totally different mindset, and it's not a mindset that we naturally have. That's why God says, I need to take out the stone, I need to put the flesh in, then I can write my law in your heart. For ye are our epistles, written in our heart, known and read of all men. Inasmuch as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on the fleshy tables of the heart. That is the secret to a successful medical missionary institution. That's groundwork. That's the first step. And you might have some guests that you can't even mention the name of Jesus to. But remember what they'll read in you, they'll read your life. So that's a very important starting point. That cannot be stressed enough. And remember, transgression of physical law is transgression of the moral law. Because God is as truly the author of the physical law as he is of the moral law. He's written his law with his own finger and on every nerve, every muscle, every faculty with which we have been entrusted. And every misuse of any part of our organism is a violation of that law. All should become intelligent as to the human frame and how to keep it in the condition necessary to do the work of the Lord. Every home should have an anatomy and physiology book. It's time to get to know your body a little bit more. You won't learn it all in a day, but little by little by little. Read a paragraph a day and get to know your body. Because knowledge is easy to him that understands, when you understand the body. And when you talk about the body, people are interested immediately because they've got one. And many people don't know how it works. The physical organism needs to be carefully preserved. How do we preserve it? Through the eight laws, those true remedies. And developed. How do we develop it? Through those eight laws. If there's no development, as if there's no growth, what is there? Stagnation. And stagnant pools breed disease. And stagnant bodies breed disease, and stagnant minds breed disease. The physical organism needs to be carefully preserved and developed, that through humanity the divine nature might be revealed in all of its fullness. That's God's aim. And I believe in a very special way at this time on planet Earth, it's in the medical missionary work. Because we are told this is the last work, aren't we? The last work. We should have 100 people here, is that right? And yet the God of this world has blinded the minds of men that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For God, who commanded the light to shine forth in darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of ourselves. We are troubled on every side, but not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed, ever bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of him might be made manifest in our body. Back again to this, this earthen vessel that we are to totally surrender and humble to God every day. Yes?
About your business, you were talking about the lessons. I presume that in the lessons you don't quote the Chivat Proverb.
I do, but I don't say I am. I don't quote that quote. It depends on who we've got there. If I've got seven-day Adventists, I do. If I haven't, I don't. But I quote a lot of her sayings, like, in a short while you will so experience the benefits of pure air and sun and pure air and exercise, you wouldn't live without these blessings, and perfect health requires perfect circulation. So I do quote, but I don't say that I'm quoting. And if I quote the Bible, I say an old proverb, and I just see if they're coping. If they're not coping, I quickly move back onto basic anatomy and physiology. And if they are coping, I can go a little bit further. You can see body language. But I quoted one verse. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. After I talked about the DNA, that's the only verse I quoted. And these two girls got straight up, went up to their room, packed their bags and left. And they told their parents that I was beating them over the head with the Bible. ooh.
They knew that.
That's what, that's what we're dealing with. Yeah?
Trusting divine power instead of trusting God.
Because that's exactly what it says in Ministry of Healing, page 127. So I write down the exact words.
Mm-hmm. Which quote was that? Right, what you just said, this quote, this long quote.
Page 347 of Christ Object's Lesson, transgression of physical law is transgression of the moral law, that one. 347 of Christ Object's Lesson.
And what lessons do you give, or you just look what God shows you?
I do. I use the eight laws of health as my basis. I usually start with the true cause of disease. And I usually talk about the liver on the second day. As they're going through that, I always talk about hormones. In this medical missionary training course, I have used a lot of Bible and a lot of spirit of prophecy that I don't usually use in my lectures. And I've also gone a little bit deeper in the anatomy and physiology, because you are students and you're wanting to start your own retreat. So I needed to go a lot deeper.
Yeah. And you didn't talk about the finances.
I didn't talk about the finances because I don't know much about them. My husband does it all. But I do know what he's told me, and that is that at first you don't make money, so it's important to have a garden, to have some resources behind you. And then as more people come and more people pay, and I guess it starts to roll in. We found it much better not to be dependent on people. Some people will volunteer to maybe donate some things to help, and that can be great, but it's best not to rely on that, because often when people give money, they have some strings attached, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. How much should you ask in the beginning? I mean, you said you started a bit lower and went up.
That's right. Well, it's hard for me to say. I guess it's what your facilities are like and what you can offer. Because our facilities are, if you've looked at our website, they're fairly state of the art now. So we can charge $3,000 a week for 7 days.
You can charge it for the facility, not for your knowledge.
Well, we're charging for the package, and so I guess you'd play with what you've got. It's very hard to say. I'm sure in every case it's a little different, but there should be some payment to cover costs. Michael said he started at $400 per person for a week, but that was in the 1980s. It was a long time ago.
So you never treat a person without money?
We try not to. We found they don't value it. And if someone wants to pay it off, we get them to pay it off before they come, because we have taken them and then they don't pay it off. And then if you see them in the street, they'll look the other way because they feel so bad because they owe you money and you've just lost a friend. So it is best if they can start paying it off first. And we always ask, do you have family that could help? Do you have a church family that can take up an offering? Sometimes Michael drastically reduces it because the person is unable. And what some people say, I can't afford to come to your retreat, so that I will give them advice maybe via email, and I say I'm happy to answer your questions and to comment as you go.
And that they do for free.
I don't know any other naturopath in Australia that does it for free, but I'm a missionary. I'm forbidden to do it in Australia, so I'm very careful how I answer because they obviously are tracking me.
But can you do it privately?
If someone comes to my house and we talk, but if they're a spy, they can go and report me, yeah.
Can you send an email to somebody, for example, from the United States or from here to Australia? What do you say? What do the authorities say then? Because they're not giving advice in Australia.
Well, what I have been doing, I have been, if people ask me for help or they've got a problem, I say to them, unfortunately, I'm banned in Australia and I'm forbidden to give advice. But this is what they do at Misty Mountain. So I might do something like that. So I'm careful what I say. My husband's gets a bit nervous about the threat of jail. And lawyers have told us it's actually illegal what they did to you, but if we were to fight it in court, to even start the process would cost us $200,000. So we've decided against it. We're nearing a close, Ben.
Yes.
So would you like to say anything as we close?
I could say that I think it's a good idea to take a rest now and then come back for lunch at, as usual, 2:30. And then after lunch be back here, 3:30, for a proper close and goodbye. So that is my suggestion. We haven't written that in the program, but I would suggest that, and that also gives a chance for the people now in the kitchen and around to be here, and we can all be gathered and pray and say proper goodbye. I think that would be the best. But let us pray also for
this.
Yes.
So let us pray to close our morning session. Father, thank you so much for what you have taught us today. Thank you for what you've called us to do. And we know you have a plan for each one of us, and I would endeavour to say that the plan for each one of us is far mightier than we imagine. Thank you that you've chosen us to live at this time on planet Earth. And we pray that you'll help each one of us to be sober and to be diligent in doing our part to keep this knowledge and to act on this knowledge. And this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.